tap shop.
I'm addicted to the smell of Danny Ice.
And the way that you cough when you hit your vape too hard.
Welcome back to the Jojatorium.
Well, I mean, remember too, whenever we found the German Scheisser porn.
Let's not lie to each other. You're in twerk classes over there. That's
yeah.
That's
all it is.
The fitness class.
Working on them TikTok videos you like so much.
Dead face.
Just got right in front of you.
Welcome back, Judge Torum. You know who it is. It's Adam. It's Matt. We're decaying with the boys. And crypto ain't no joke. But when it's in our hands, it totally is. Spooky season is in full swing for most normies around the October time, but the crew over there at Halloween is Forever brings you the scary all year long. Brian and Steve dig up the corpses of our cinematic youth, rip them apart all over again, or they chop up some modern horror as they face off on monthly showdowns. The newest gravesite is their Patreon. For $5, you can be a little scamp, where you get an extra vote to influence their monthly showdowns. You get some extra unedited podcasting, some horror movie reviews, and maybe a few other surprises. For 10 smackaroos, you get to be a little rascal. You get all of the first tier perks, but you also get to join their Discord live. So you can see their faces of horror by checking out patreon.com/Halloween is forever. And you can give them a follow on all their socials by searching out Halloween is forever. But just make sure you tell them that the boys sent you.
Boom.
Welcome back. We had to take a week off because daddy had shit to do. All right. You know, it's
mainly dehydrating yourself.
Yeah.
From your back end.
I had what they call streamy shits. I was very ill.
Demonetized.
I was very ill. Maybe it was the poops. Maybe it wasn't. That's a mystery for
you. Yeah.
but here's the thing. I couldn't make it. And then, of course, I got everyone in the house sick. So we all were on lockdown. And then I got 2 flat tires. So even if I wanted to come see you. Yeah, it's like a Steven Spielberg drama from back in the early 90s. It's like, I wasn't going to get to you. Wherever you are. So, but we are back together, and God bless it. Just feels so good.
It does feel good.
Yeah. I miss you.
First
when I'm
time I've seen
you
since the night before Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Right? Turkey Day Eve.
With Mr. Goodfellow.
That's
Longfellow,
right.
Sorry.
Longfellow. Yeah. Friend of the podcast. Longfellow. So, while daddy was on lockdown, you, busy little bee, again, as you always are, you decided that you're going to let your beers make over 500 smackarooskies for People's Oakland.
Yeah, we did. I did a last minute push out of my boredom and not having a podcast to do that week. And raised 500. We got real close. I think we raised 490. I rounded
up. Of course.
Come on. I can't donate 490. So, yeah, little round up. Got raised 500 a month, which blew me away.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, before even that last minute push, we were around a little short of the 300 mark, and I was blown away by that. So, thank you to all of our listeners and all the people that followed Bash Brew. I got people from both sides of that equation coming in to donate. Some people didn't even want beer. They just donated from afar when we saw, when they saw the deadline was coming in. But of course, I'll hit them up with some beer in the future. But yeah, thank you to everybody.
Yeah.
And thank you for promoting it and, joining me, the podcast, joining my effort with Bash Brew.
Absolutely.
Boom, the combined effort did some good stuff for some people, I hope.
Our powers combined and me getting sick allows you to throw a party to raise money for the greater good. So did we get any correspondence from People's Oakland? Of course we did. They reached out to us via Facebook and thanked us. And then they also sent me an email, which I still have yet to respond to because I'm a terrible person when I'm sick and I check all the way out. But just because we are done providing some kind of monetary assistance to People's Oakland, you guys can continue on by checking them out. Just peoplesoakland.org. And then they're on Facebook, People's Oakland. You can check out their website. You can actually donate not just your money, but your time. There is events that go on all year round.
Yeah.
They throw events for families that are coming in for therapy and they need their kids to have something to do. And you can help get, like, just draw pictures with kids or something. You can just be there to help if you don't have the money to do it.
Yeah, and it was very easy to donate. You can just do it right through their website, through PayPal or just, like, your debit card, credit card. So, yeah, I mean, it is the season of giving, so go ahead and give.
Absolutely.
They can use every penny they get, I'm sure. Yep. I'm very happy and very flattered, impressed by our listeners and our beer drinkers. And good job, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody. And keep your eyes open because...
Like there was any doubt.
Yeah. Y'all just keep crushing it. So, Adam, we are in round one. Because we are who we are, we procure some of the best beers in the burg. So you put that all together, what we call it? Round one beers. What are we drinking?
Good job looking this up. But we got something from right down the road here in Dormont. It's a little back alley brewing. It is their Susie B, a farmhouse Saison Ale, coming in at 6.6%.
A little funky.
So there we go.
Okay.
The people over there at Back Alley, of course, are very nice. And this beer and next round's beers, both provided by Mr. PGH Beer Douche Mike Moore himself.
Oh, well, thank you.
So thank you, Mike.
Sound effects. So as soon as I crack this thing, I can tell you right now, I smell it for days. Look at the color on that bad boy.
It's a nice color.
That's looking nice.
It's got that farmhouse scent.
It does, too.
It's a little funky.
Yeah, and that's the thing about farmhouses, people. If you want a little bit of that funk, you can get it, you know, in your farmhouse ale, especially a Saison. It's going to get a little extra funky there. Adam, you took your first sip, so why don't you tell people what it's like while I go ahead and dive into mine.
French-inspired, for sure. Great color. I get the farmhouse more on the nose, but it's Saison esters all the way through that beer. Very nicely done. Finishes pretty dry. If Saison is your style, I would say this is a good representation. I am very sensitive to Saisons. If it's like too estery or not estery enough, and especially throwing that farmhouse curveball in there, I don't always like them. But I do really like this one.
I like that the back end of it is balanced, like how the nose, like the nose kind of punches you a little bit, but the back end, like the esters, like you're saying, really balances it all out. I like it, man.
I got to do Saison soon.
Yeah, you should.
I like that it finishes dry. Because if it finished too sweet, I think I would think differently of it.
Well, I think it would take away from some of that, the funky bitterness that you get. Yeah. It would really take away from it, so I'm glad it doesn't either. But if you want to go to Back Alley Brewing Company, they are Back Alley Brewing on all social media. And there's also backalleybrewingpa.com. And I can see here they have it on their can. They're on Facebook, Instagram, and your favorite, X.
X, baby. Stay tuned because might have something else from them in round two.
Yummy. So, Adam, while I was away and I was sitting and recouping, I had an opportunity to really like dig deep on our social media. People reach out to us all the time, to KNWTV and all social media. You know where to find us. And, what I did, though, too, since I had time, I went back and took one of our old episodes that we had a lot of fun with. I chopped it up a little bit, took the wrestling news out because, hey, man, that shit already happened. And I put it out there, and it's when you wrote an entire episode because I went to the West Coast, got into crypto, you know, had an assistant.
Got into a pyramid scheme, lost your ass.
Yeah, but you hired me back.
And lost your assistant. We haven't seen him since.
Yeah, he's been gone. We have no idea where he is. Chavez, we missed you.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys know this about us, but we don't do crypto. We don't in that regard.
Yeah, we don't do pyramid crypto.
I'm not flying over to the West Coast.
It's actually doing pretty well right now.
But here's the thing. It was called Avocado Crypto from a guy named Greg Avocado. At what point of that Austin Powers fucking movie sketch does that sound like it's a real thing?
He works for a guacamole corp.
So Adam, I actually got somebody who slid into my DMs after throwing a comment on our reel, which our reel did really, really great. It was fantastic. And this guy comments, and he comments, all else made equal value, equal risk, time. What the fuck does that?
That's not even an equation. No. I think he wanted to say risk multiplied by time.
I don't know.
Would make sense. I think he was trying to rope you into a real pyramid scheme with this.
Well, it didn't work because whatever he said here was dumb as shit, and I didn't know. And then he got, but he did get into my DMs. He was like,
"Shouldn't talk about the listeners like this."
He's not a listener. He's not a listener. Our listeners are smarter than this.
This isn't one of the Mesher brothers trying
no.
to give you a
that challenge is still out there, by the way. Meshers running like dogs with your tails tucked. You don't want a part of us. You don't want none. Like this guy tossing out these dumb ideas like I'm going to actually go and get into a pyramid scheme full of avocado crypto.
So what did he send you in your messages?
It was the common pitch like, hey, man, if you get with me and I'll help you invest and you can actually see how crypto can make you a lot of money.
You can really find us avocado crypto.
Should we start avocado crypto?
Avocado coin.
Avocado coin.
I don't know. I mean, I'm already busy in this new online thing I'm doing.
What's that?
The Twin Flames universe. So, like, I'm finding my twin flame.
Oh, you got into that too?
Yeah. I think it might be you. I think I'm going to be the dominant. And you're going to be the feminine dominant.
Yeah. I'm hoping so.
Masculine dominant.
Yeah. So, I finally get to be the bottom I've always dreamed about being.
I've always wanted to be in a Zoom cult. You know you have a real lack of self-control when you're getting cult.
It's like
when you're getting brainwashed via the computer.
You're in your own environment with all the distractions of your normal life, and you're like, you know what I really need? To pledge myself to somebody over the free trial of Zoom.
Fully give myself away and have somebody else determine my gender and sexual preference.
I'm glad that
some dude that looks like dorky Jesus.
Jared Leto?
looks like one of the early members of Incubus that got kicked out.
Oh, yeah. It's like, dude. Brandon's singing a different kind of way, and you're not vibing with us? Can you take your vibraphone and get the fuck out of here?
So good. If you haven't seen it yet, I think it's just called Twin Flames on Netflix. And I think there's a second documentary already on Amazon, too. So check it out. It's hilarious. My favorite part was the cookbook.
Yeah.
It was just filled with carbs and deli meats, and everybody's like, I'm dying.
I figured. You can't eat just boar's head. You're going to get
I believed in him so much, I gained 50 pounds in 3 weeks.
My legs are swollen and I can't bend my fingers.
But I am flush with pasta.
Oh, my God,
man.
Dude.
Yeah, pyramid schemes are fun. And cults are funner.
They're the best.
Oh, my gosh.
So, Adam, while we were away, there was some combat sports news that accumulated. So, from Buckle to Bell to Bellator and Bat, the boys bringing the best combat sports news in the booze.
Oh, man, I missed it. There was a lot last week.
So I pose this to you, Adam and our listeners. Where is Mercedes Moné going? Because Will Ospreay landed in AEW because they reportedly offered him a 7-figure offer as well as a headline match at Wembley and most likely a championship run. So now if you look at the timeline of Moné and how all her dates from New Japan were wiped out, and you look at her injuries keeping her away from Wembley Bembley show for AEW, but she was filmed twice in the crowd. If she signs with AEW, she can still wrestle everywhere, but WWE will likely propel her to the title scene. There's a lot of different influences here. She has choices all over the place. They created belts for her in New Japan, especially on the Strong division.
Yep.
And AEW apparently has very deep pockets, despite the fact that they're hemorrhaging money. Adam, where the hell do you think Mercedes Moné, formerly known as Sasha Banks, the boss, is going to go?
I mean, hottest free agent, right?
Absolutely.
You can't turn to a wrestling website without seeing this debated everywhere. I don't think she's going to AEW. I think the women's scene there is failing harder and harder as the weeks go on. WWE is a possibility now that Mr. H is taking control, and Mr. McMahon seems to be fading off into the sunset.
Not that mustache.
I could see her totally going, staying with New Japan, I guess. I think she still has a contract there for a little while longer, but just bad injury luck there. And Impact TNA, I could see it. TNA's women's division's always been strong. I think it's getting picked over a little bit as their contracts are coming up, but they always booked their women's division well. So I am going to root for her to go back to the WWE, actually.
I am saying this right now because of news that I just got. Breaking news, cat's eating kibble. I'm telling you right now, because Deonna Purrazzo, she's not re-signing with Impact and TNA.
Right.
You need a marquee player to lead that division. And who better and Mercedes Moné.
They got all that money sitting there from not getting Phil Brooks or Will Ospreay.
That's so. What I'm saying. It's just there for the taking. And I heard through the Will Ospreay deal that they actually had a lot of money on the table.
I heard they
for him.
Offered him seven figures.
Yeah,
and he passed it for whatever AEW gave him.
Yeah.
So that's pretty major. Yeah, I think back to the E. I also heard she was like looking at like living in Japan though too. So
that'd be cool.
Maybe she stays in New Japan.
Yeah.
She does seem to like really love that culture and like her personal life and hobbies outside of wrestling. So, and I mean, the little bit she did there was pretty good.
Yeah.
The her first debut match had a botched finish, but other than that, the match was great. And then just the injuries plagued her for the rest of her time there. So who knows? It'll be fun to see, and we'll probably have an update in the next couple weeks.
I would say too, yeah. Speaking of updates and fighters going wherever they want to go, Platinum Mike Perry made a choice a long time ago to go to Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship. And friend of the podcast, acquaintance of the podcast, Mike Perry, I should say, because we've already decided that he says words that we don't...
Tony Atlas don't like him.
...really agree with. Yeah. he brought the absolute bang to Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship 56, earning a stoppage in the second round when he squared off against Eddie Alvarez. And over the last few days, Perry has gone on to call out fighters that he would like to tangle with, and some have come out of the woodwork to try to weasel their way into fights themselves. Firstly, the newly crowned King of Violence, Mike Perry, decided to throw a quick one out at Conor McGregor. I think that's a good idea. Conor McGregor's big money fight. That's a good one.
It's what everybody does when they win a big fight.
He described McGregor as the ideal opponent. And who better than McGregor, great on the mic, can sell fights, can sell tickets. He then went to call out Jorge Masvidal and Sean Strickland. Strickland would be fun to watch in bare knuckle.
Yeah, that's definitely not happening, though.
No, Masvidal would be
Mike,
sick.
There's these things called contracts.
Yeah, it's tough. But of course... it wouldn't be long until that sneaky little bitch, Dylan Dennis, crawled out of his hole on X and decided to throw one out there.
It's a big hole to crawl out.
It is. And he said, and I quote, "Let's do it bare knuckle for the belt. Fuck it." As if he deserves a chance.
You weren't even on the list, buddy. Like, you're not even in the list.
You got housed by a Paul brother.
Yeah. Like, badly. Stop, you're not a boxer.
Can I throw this out there for you, though? Can I just say a dream matchup of mine now is Mike Perry versus Dylan Dennis, and there's no referee to stop the fight.
Oh, that'd be totally fine. And congrats on the win, Mike Perry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Getting the win over Eddie Alvarez.
Yeah.
I don't see any of those fights. I mean, maybe, I don't know, Masvidal's current contract with the UFC, if he's under contract
no.
or not. I haven't seen him in a while. So that's possible.
He's fighting under his own promotion now. So he might be able to call his own shot.
Yeah, but he's also not like a very, like, bare knuckle is strictly fists. And
yeah.
He's good with his knees and feet. Like, he's multifaceted.
Ask Ben Askren.
Yeah, right?
Go to sleep.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think any of those guys are his next opponent. But I don't know who else. I didn't see Eddie Alvarez coming out of nowhere either.
Yeah, that's true.
And that was a great one because he was, again, an MMA fighter with a heavy boxing background. Mm. So I think he might get a boxer. Now. Yeah.
Also, props to Eddie Alvarez.
Boxer on the way out.
He didn't go down on a KO. He went down on a referee stoppage because he couldn't see out of his left eye.
Boom. That's what happened to this bare knuckle fight.
That's what I'm saying, man.
I have a really kind of related but not related to Mike Perry. I have a really tough time watching the women's bare knuckle fights.
It's tough.
They're brutal. Like,
they
women
throw
get
more
real messed
overhand.
Up. Yeah. They throw haymakers.
Yeah. It's because guys... I'm not saying the guys are more calculated than women, but I think women like to get low and swing over their shoulders a lot more. So when those things connect, it's
like a
horror movie.
Just the damage they're doing looks far and away worse than what the men are doing somehow. it's tough to watch.
Pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Adam, did you know that Tom Aspinall once John Jones Aspinall?
Oh, he's from here in the burg.
Welcome to Pittsburgh. He wants
yourself a permanent sandwich.
Johnny Bones Jones stripped of that there title
and Capicola, and if you don't get the fried egg on it, you're a real jag.
Yours are fries. You can go fuck off. So during his camp in UFC 295, Jones.
No, you can't get coleslaw on the side. Get the fuck out.
You can get that coleslaw in the corner. Jones was gearing up in UFC 295 camp to square off against Stipe Miocic when he tore his pectoral muscle, of course requiring surgery. Mr. Tom Aspinall was given the opportunity of his career, and he captured the interim heavyweight championship against Sergey Pavlovich.
In a snoozer.
Yeah, absolute snoozer.
For a heavyweight fight? God damn. Dude,
with big meaty men should be slapping meat. That was a snoozer.
They were dancing.
So then Aspinall went on to state that Jones should just give up his title because that's, quote, what everyone else does when they get injured like that. And I don't know if you know this, but when you call it a guy like John Jones, he's not going to not tell you about yourself.
Right.
So he went on in an interview and he said, I faced the absolute toughest competition this world has had to offer for 15 years now. Now I have newcomers requesting I get my championship stripped. Zero wins over legends, zero title defenses, and already think you can call the shots to Dana White. That's hilarious. So do you think that...
Touché. I don't even like John Jones, but he's 100%
100% right. But do you think in all of this that Aspinall is playing mind games, or do you really think he believes he can sway the UFC to strip Jones?
I think he was feeling himself and really thought that. He's wrong. He's very wrong. But I think he had a little machismo going. It was
he did too.
Watch me shoot this shot. Sucked.
Let me cook, bro. Cooked yourself right into an ass whooping, I think.
Raw eggs. Yeah, it's not going to be good.
Oh, so we should probably go into a break. Oh, yeah, I forgot. CM Punk came back. You thought we weren't going to talk about it.
Phil!
It's clobbery time. So, yeah. Okay. He's back. Best in the world. They remastered Cult of Personality. But this is just, I don't know, man. He came back, and there is a ton of other things that come out with him, too. He's like a parachute that's on fire as he comes down to Earth. You come to find out all the other problems that were going on with AEW, how they pitched the whole show of Collision for him and how he wasn't supportive of that. And then there's some wrestlers that were on his team and a ton that weren't. And then people on TNA were like, don't you dare fucking sign with us. And then you had Seth Rollins maybe kayfabing, maybe not kayfabing. It's a bunch of shit.
Definitely kayfabing. We know that now.
Now, yeah. But he returned to the E at Survivor Series after a great War Games that concluded with the babyfaces going over, which
yeah,
I would have wrote that differently. But now we have Punk. And now we have to, because of who we are, fantasy book.
Yeah, let's do it.
So, Adam... Let's fantasy book him into three things here. One, his first feud. Two, his first title to hold, because he's going to hold one. And then three, is he going to be a heel or a babyface during his first feud and title hold? So who's his first feud?
I think the freak out by Rollins was totally kayfabe, and I think it was intended. I think they had plants in the crowd filming it because they did a really good job, but also a really good job of working the crowd. Because you had, like, the announcer. You had Michael Cole holding him back. Like,
it's pretty good.
Pretty good. Michael Cole getting involved.
Skinny, so, fat,
so
bitch.
I think I looks like a fucking hedgehog, doesn't he?
Doesn't he, though?
I think it'll be Seth Rollins. And Seth has been calling him out from afar when he came back and just did the Fox Sports thing for those
good.
Couple months. Seth was trying to call him out then.
Yep.
So, like, it's been building and... Yeah, I think we might see that at Rumble.
Little Tyler Black versus
Phil Brooks.
Yeah,
I don't think you
Phil
can stretch
Brooks.
Till Mania, but you can maybe Rumble.
That's what everybody wants, though. They want it on the first night of the buy one, get two.
The buy one, get two free Super WrestleMania Spectacular.
Yeah,
he said a lot of stuff he's going to have to eat now. But.
So do you think then he's going to hold that title? Do you think he's going to go over on Rollins?
Who do you think his first feud is? Are you agreeing with
me? I'm agreeing with I think, because it makes the most sense, because you can't.
I mean, they're already setting up. We'll see as we're recording, yeah. SmackDown's happening. So
yeah.
We'll see if he calls out anybody tonight. But
right.
It looks like it's going to be Rollins.
Well, then the rumor.
But McIntyre's been taking jabs at him, too.
That's what I was going to say. McIntyre has been, because he went full Scott.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of it, and everyone's like, oh, look what Seth Rollins is doing. It's like, do you guys realize that Drew McIntyre just walked out and didn't say shit? So I think it's Seth Rollins after he goes through Drew McIntyre. There's got to be a bit of a warm-up here. I think he's going to briefly feud, kind of tangle up with Judgment Day for a hot second, and it's going to set up a switcheroo-ski with Senor Money in the Bank on Seth Rollins. So then I think he could go. I think there's still going to be a Seth Rollins match, but I think ultimately CM Punk's going to hold that consolation championship that Seth Rollins has successfully defended. He's done the best he could do with that belt.
Yeah.
And I think it actually, just in terms of that belt, it's time to get rid of it. And who better to give it to than the guy that can actually completely squash your competitor?
Yeah, and maybe it'll get the stink of it being the consolation belt off of it once you move it to somebody else. Like, he's the original title holder of that new belt.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it'll give it some lineage, give it some history, give it some other title holders and see. I kind of agree with you. I think Rollins is going to lose it before him and CM Punk face off.
Yeah.
And then in the booking decision of the year.
Oh, yeah?
CM Punk will beat Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. For the undisputed Universal Champion.
He'll finish his story before Cody Rhodes does.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be the ultimate spit in AEW's face? Like, we stole one of your top stars, one of the guys who started the place. You thought he was going over on Roman Reigns, but then we got the other guy to come over.
It's time to finish the story. By beating, you're going to have to beat, what's his name?
Phil.
No.
Tyler Black.
No.
Cody Rhodes, son of a plumber.
No, Cody Rhodes is going to have to beat the Mr. Money in the Bank, Senior Money in the Bank.
Oh, Damian Priest.
Which I have a whole theory on that, too.
Okay.
I don't think. No. I think Finn's got the contract.
You think?
He gave Damian Priest that new briefcase.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think Priest was smart enough to open it up and see if the contract was in there.
I
think Finn's got the other case somewhere.
And they never opened it up on all the times that he was supposed to.
I'm also just fantasy booking for Finn Balor to win the championship.
The Gutters! He's got the Gutters!
He's my favorite. He's got his own Funko Pop following him around now.
I love it. I do love it. So, Adam.
Bobble Balor.
Real quick on this one, do you think that CM Punk is going to be a heel or a babyface during this run?
He's here to make money, not to make friends. He's going to be a heel.
Yeah, I agree with you. That was a very, very easy one.
He's better as a heel.
Yeah.
He might be babyface for his first feud. But I don't know. If you're going against Rollins, Rollins is babyface.
Well, yeah. Rollins is like anti-hero because he still has like that weird cult leader Joker thing.
Yeah, but all the dum-dums that buy tickets to go to these shows, they're chanting a song and stuff. Like, he's getting bumps. Oh, my God. I hate it. I hate the sing-alongs.
Yeah, you do? I love them.
I like dances.
I love them.
I like Swerve and Nana.
Do you know how
much I
like
the dance? I don't like the chanting along.
The music.
I don't like the Chris Jericho sing along.
I fucking mute the TV. I didn't pay my cable bill to listen to all of you sing along with the songs.
What about Cody Rhodes when they all will? Do you like that?
Oh, you know what, too? He knows what he's doing because he goes. He gets that face. He's like,
come on. Get the fuck out of here,
bro. So, Adam,
somebody else returned, though, too.
Just R-Truth, baby. Well,
and Randy Orton.
Who?
Yeah. Okay. can we get to my favorite segment now?
Going over jobbing.
Out of nowhere.
Dude, Lil Timmy is one of the best bits that ever happened in the Attitude Era, and you know it.
Oh, I don't. I'm very pumped that the truth is back.
Did
you see him eating?
Yes. Yes.
Eating jelly rolls?
It's the best.
It's so stupid, but it's hilarious. He looked like he just got at the end of a fucking Debbie Does Dallas on that couch.
I love it. I love R-Truth so much. I'm so glad he's back.
Cream filling everywhere.
So, Adam, in going over jobbing, and the first question I pose to you from the back of the rumor locker room is Matt Riddell. That French bastard,
Riddell,
will debut for Impact/TNA in 2024.
God damn. I mean, what else is he going to do?
He signed with a UFC, an MMA promotion. He's trying to do that, and he teamed with RVD very recently on an indie show, too. And he cut his hair. He means business.
I did see the haircut. Didn't look bad.
He still has a mushroom tattoo on his ribs.
I think it's jobbing. I think he's going to just stick with MMA and maybe do like a couple indie spots. Yeah.
So you couldn't find like Matt.
I don't know if TNA should spend that amount of money for somebody that could be a problem.
Was he really going to garner that much money? Like, if you can get him for a steal, would you bring him in?
Yeah, but I don't think I think he's going to want a lot of money, and I don't think he's that much of a draw by himself.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, what does he have to offer other than a United States Championship run and a tag team run with Randy Orton?
Right.
You know,
yeah,
what
he
I mean?
Kept he kept fucking butchering his own pushes in WWE, yeah. So he never really got like superstar status.
Yeah,
so.
That's why you got to take the Bully Ray contract when you first came on.
Yeah.
And you got to take the hit, and then you got to build yourself back up to beat aces and eights.
Yeah, you could do that. You could do that, or you could just be Rhino for your whole career.
So, Adam, I ask you, will Timeless Toni Storm and Julia Hart lead the AEW Women's Division into better times? Also, if we could inject Mercedes Moné into this for a little bit more of a push, do you think this is at all possible?
Nope.
Nope.
Nope. No, I think Toni Storm's run is stupid.
Really? You don't
I
like
think
this.
Julia Hart is catching some steam. But you're still getting one women's match.
Yeah.
Every Dynamite. And probably less on Collision and Rampage. I don't even watch it anymore because nothing happens on this.
Do you think that Rampage should
other
be
than
all
Brody King fucking
whooping.
That's the only – so, yeah, that's the thing. You're booking you need no storyline to do that mid-card fucking tournament they're doing.
The
right
Continental
now.
Classic,
yeah. Yeah, stupid. So that's being booked over doing women's storylines.
Yeah, it's tough.
Doing real storylines. You're making all this hubbub for a fucking mid-card title that everybody can already see is either going to
Daniel Bryan.
Swerve or Moxley, I think.
You think it's going to Moxley?
I think it's going
to
Swerve.
I hope
Swerve
it goes to Swerve. Swerve needs gold.
I hope it goes to Swerve or Brody, but I don't think they're going to put on Brody.
It'd be kind of cool to
Although
put on
he
Brody.
He is undefeated.
I like it.
Again, that's going on right now, though. He might be losing right
it
now.
It could be. You know what would be really amazing, though, is to see him and Swerve go at it.
Brody and Swerve?
Yeah.
That'd be cool. I think like he's gonna lose to Brian, though. I think.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're
building him up as a monster for Danielson to
Yeah, but that's the thing
slay.
That But Kingston is also, like, he should have been, like, a fan favorite. He's going to lose all of his belts for this, too. So that was kind of, like, a
weird.
Yeah,
it sucks.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
My boys are getting just shamed upon.
It's a dark time.
Tony Khan just blowing them out. But yeah, I don't think there's any. Without more time, there's no saving the women's division.
I think this is going over to a certain degree, and this is why. And then hear me out, because I think that the Timeless Toni Storm character arc allows people like a Thunder Rosa, like a Britt Baker, who have better in-ring and better mic skills to come in, because Toni Storm just gets to be absolutely out of her mind during promos. She says whatever the hell she wants and just puts like a TCM spin on it, which is fine. But that allows the heels or the anti-heroes like a Britt Baker to be more of themselves. So like Britt Baker, when she went against, what was her name? She got cut.
Hikaru Shida.
No, not my girl.
Jinxed it.
Yeah, no, it was, Britt Baker's had some pretty good feuds where she's, you know, had the opportunity to cut loose on the microphone. That's when she cut some of her best promos. So I think if you allow this to breathe and you give it more time, I think it's going to be something incredible, but you have to give it time. So it's going over as long as they give it time.
I think it's dead in the water.
Ah, damn it.
Jobbing. I don't think you can get that Toni Storm character over.
I hope that they can.
I hope they can get the Butler over, because that's the
Luther!
Best. That's the best part of the whole thing.
You're coming over on Luther. I knew it. You would eventually come over to my side.
They completely changed his character.
He's incredible.
Yeah. He's so much drunk as himself.
Yeah, it was tough. So, Adam, number three here, Tom Aspinall will defeat John Jones in a title unification match in 2024.
No, that's not going to happen because John Jones is going to get stripped, according to Aspinall.
It's jobbing.
No, it's jobbing. He's not going to beat Jones.
You don't think you can take Jones?
Jones is going to dominate him.
How do you think? So then, prediction, how do you think it ends? Is it a KO, TKO?
KO second
submission?
Round.
Yeah.
KO second round.
Front kick.
Probably. Probably a kick of some sort.
I would imagine. And last but not least here, WWE has just added Ken Shamrock merch to the WWE shop website. Does this mean a return for the world's most dangerous man?
I think it might be going over. It's kind of weird because, like, I immediately want to be like, well, now that they're under Endeavor and there's that tie-in with the UFC, but I think Ken burnt all his bridges with the UFC as well, so I'm not sure. But maybe he's mending that and, like, we'll pop into the WWE for like a guest referee spot or something.
Oh yeah,
Or
he did some of his best work.
Maybe it's a Rumble return.
Entrant number.
That's
30.
A real. That would suck though now because they spoiled the surprise.
Yeah, I know.
Already having his merch out there, and I did take a peek at the merch today after.
Yeah, is it
seeing
cool?
The notes. No, it's fucking awful.
Damn it!
It's real lame looking.
I want a Ken Shamrock shirt.
There's
it's
like
cool.
one decent shirt, and then the rest of them look like
that sucks.
Dan Severn's sweaty gray t-shirts, basically.
Oh, by the way, breaking news. Speaking of Endeavor, you know who they just signed a deal with? TNA.
Well, TNA signed a deal with yeah Endeavor for the streaming. I believe it's going to be called TNA Plus.
Yep. So that's another boost for them. Could you imagine TNA being a filter territory for
NXT?
Yeah. It might work out.
Yeah.
So
get Eddie Edwards fucking dumbass into NXT.
So Adam, we are moving into
who's
a break.
Who's my boy though? Who's my boy? Like,
oh,
the big dude.
Moose.
No, he's like he's just big round like me.
Oh, PCEO.
Well, no, he's also big round like me. The younger guy. He's a free agent now. He used to be Solomon Crowe in NXT.
Sammy Callahan?
There you go. I want to see Sammy Callahan fight.
Well, did you
Seth Rollins.
Did you see when he super kicked that dude? He super kicked Penta when he was sitting on Jason Segel's lap.
Oh, I did see that. That was yeah,
so
that was
good. Jason Segel's like, "Fuck you, do it." It was pretty good.
He also hit Eddie in the fucking face with a baseball bat. He's my dude. I hate Eddie Edwards so bad. Dude.
You know who else hates Eddie Edwards?
Our sponsors, baby.
They probably do, but we don't have any sponsors.
Well, there's one coming.
We do have
friends. There's actually multiple coming.
Really?
Multiple sponsors are coming.
We're talking.
Okay. They wanted to see our Black Friday numbers. Black Friday numbers were good. I think we got sponsors.
Support our sponsors. We need to support our sponsors. You support us. We support us. We do some pretty cool stuff.
They're as real as Santa Claus.
We'll see you on the other side.
Love our friends. Casting Views.
When you're done listening to this podcast, check out mine. It's called Beer in Front. Every week I talk about a classic beer that maybe we've forgotten along the way. I'll also talk about new beers that have potential to be classics. As the Chicago beer guy, I also talk a lot about great craft beers in the city of Chicago. That's Beer in Front, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back. If you heard something you like, again, go support our friends. You support our friends, you support us, and you support us, we do some pretty cool
sugar
stuff.
Sugar-coated murder.
They wrote a book.
Boom!
So,
talking smirk.
Adam, we are in round two.
I'm excited about our friends still.
We got round two stuff to drink.
I'm excited about
that too. Put it all together. What do we call it?
That would be round two beers.
Round two beers. What are we drinking?
Boom, a little something more from Back Alley. And actually, one of my top three beers from there. I'm not going to say it's my favorite. There's a lot that are tied close to it. But one of my definite favorites is the Mountain of Gold, which is their Pittsburgh-style lager. Crack that. This is a smooth, light-bodied lager that features a hint of German noble hops and a crisp finish for easy drinking. Boom. And
look,
it's coming in at 4.5%.
Oh, my goodness.
So, to me, before we even drink it,
yeah,
my opinion
thank
of
you
it is that it is a, like, craft Iron City.
A craft Iron City.
Yeah,
okay.
It's like if a nice microbrewery did the big Pittsburgh lager.
Okay. I would say for, like, our out-of-towners, Iron City is, like, our like staple city. Yeah, it's our staple city beer. Yeah. Shout out to a friend of the podcast, Bobby Nacho, a.k.a. Jim Simmons, a.k.a. Bobbert Nacho.
It's our hams. It's our,
yeah.
It is almost currency in the city. So.
Yeah, you actually can get cigarettes with Iron City.
Yeah.
You can exchange
yeah, you totally
it.
Totally can. It does better than Avocado Crypto.
It does, surprisingly. But because Avocado Crypto isn't fucking real. Shut up.
Oh, yeah, man.
How's that going?
Great. So with the lager style, sometimes you get a little bit of that sulfur, and I get a little sulfur on the nose, but that's okay for the style. And then it just is freaking clean and crisp, man.
It's the best way to describe
it. That's a German lager, dude.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's the beautiful thing about German lager.
Not much
lager
to say. And that's a good thing. You shouldn't have much to say.
That's it. Yeah. It's nice. It's clear. It's crisp.
if you're throwing on the Pens game. Boom, crack a couple of these open each period.
This is a Tom Barrasso jersey, by the way.
Classic. Just Hall of Famer.
Just mean to the media.
You try to watch the Steelers lose to a 2-10 team, boom, crack open a Mountain of Gold.
And if you think they're not going to do it again, then you have some more beer, and guess what? Boom, they do it again.
We suck. We thought Canada was the problem. Fuck you, Trubisky.
There you go, Meshers. So we are in round two, and I did toss it out to our social media. Thank you again. We're at DecanWTB on everything, Facebook, Instagram, X, Threads, YouTube, everything. It's all there. So we did battle a formidable foe, friend of the podcast, Mr. Justin Longfellow from Yellow Bridge, and we struck a chord with him with a very innocuous question when we pitted Wham's Last Christmas against Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. Now,
yeah, you thought it got heated on the podcast, folks. Matt did an expert editing job because we argued about that for
it was tough.
A long time.
Actually, we argued so much, we got a bonus episode out of it.
There we go.
Which you guys will be able to listen to on Christmas Day. So you're welcome. An early surprise.
Christmas is on Monday,
huh? It is. And they get a present from us. It's a little bonus episode, and there's going to be some other things with it too, but there's an argument that came off of that because he challenged our ability to know what good shit sounded like.
Yeah.
But let me say this too. When I go into all the articles online, like Billboard 100, Rolling Stones, all those like middle to lower end publications do say that Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Yeah, they would.
But when I go to higher end stuff like WordPress, Pitchfork,
people that know music,
Instagram, you know, I'm out there on X. What's the best Christmas song? Everybody where it counts says Wham.
Metal Injection.
Boom.
Metal Blade Records.
Everyone likes Wham.
Everybody likes Wham.
Do you know who else likes Wham?
Our listeners.
Our fucking listeners. Because it came in at 77% to 23%.
Oh, just you crushed it.
Got crushed, Justin. Suck
Man,
it.
Keep backing your girl. You better listen to it a little more. Share that song with a couple of your friends that don't already know it to death.
Last Christmas, I smashed your fucking dreams.
No! The big W!
Suck it! So, so Adam, I did go out there and I did find an article for us to tear apart in our favorite segment, The Ground and Pound. So safehome.org dug deep into the history of Christmas toys and found the ones that would likely leave the halls decked with blood instead of mayhem and holly. But we've come to find out from time to time that these lists are shit, and we like to tear them apart and put on ones that we actually think are better. But oh, I think after reviewing this one, we're just going to have a lot of laughs because we're going to go over the 9 most unsafe toys in Christmas history.
Interesting.
Yeah. So let's see if it stacks up to our poor upbringing, dangerous. We played with sticks a lot.
The candy cigarettes that were actually firecrackers. Did they make the list? A lot of toothless kids that year.
So, Adam, starting off with number one here, it's the CSI fingerprint analysis kit. Now, concept, totally cool, because who doesn't want to be like involved in crime, you know, investigation, evidence collection? It's incredible.
Crime investigation, not crime.
There was a short pause in there. Crime investigation. So with this kit, you could make yourself a junior evidence collector. And but why is that dangerous? Well, it's because Planet Toys cut the fingerprint powder with 7% tremolite, a nasty carcinogen and one of the most toxic forms of asbestos known to mankind.
But that's okay, Matt. It's not like it's touching your skin or anything. Oh, wait.
It's
a fingerprint.
It's primarily touching your skin.
Just one of the most absorbive parts of your skin.
Yeah. Also, too, dare me not to throw that in your face if we're playing together at my house. Like, oh, look at this.
Well, especially if you get caught as the suspect, you just be like, no. You tajiri it into their eyes.
Absolutely.
And like, get the hell out of
there. Well, also, too, you got to think about the Jackass like era when people were antiquing each other. Antique somebody with asbestos.
Asbestos in your eye.
So the big question here is it still available? The answer is kinda, because it's got pulled off the shelves in 2009. But if you go on eBay, they're $24 a smackaroo. Like, so
I just found your punishment.
Fuck, dude. I don't wanna die. Just maybe eat hot stuff. Which I probably still would die.
Make you eat fingerprint powder.
Is it from the CSI kit? Why don't you like me anymore? So Adam, going on number two here, we have Hasbro's Javelin Darts, also known widely as Lawn Darts. This is a self-explanatory toy. Like, it's sharp-ass darts that people who have no skill or the strength to throw them, launching them across the yard into a bullseye area. And, of course, as soon as kids could realize they did that, what were they doing? throwing them straight up in the fucking air. And then, like, can you get out of the way fast enough?
They stick in the ground real good if you throw them straight up.
They do. Now, here's the other thing about it. There were two confirmed deaths and 6,100 recorded emergency room visits from 1970 to 1988.
That's freaking awesome.
It's a deadly toy, man. Could you?
I didn't realize that was 1970. I thought they were even older than that.
No, man. So I think people in the 60s were just too high to do anything. Yeah, it was like the 70s, like, dude, we're on acid now. We should throw things.
We like to spend more time outside in the woods. Yeah, it's like,
feel the grass on your feet, but also throw these razor blades towards that. Yeah. Is this still available? Yes, but nerfed heavily. There's rubber tips now and Velcro and everything.
Weight.
Yeah.
No, that's no good. This is actually one I had as a child.
Me too.
But I had, they were like passed down from my parents. So I bet you I had one of the 1970s versions. Because not only were they still really sharp, but they were kind of rusted. So tetanus was also in play.
Nice.
Yeah, they were like, I would say they weren't from the 80s. I'd have to say they were from like a time when cigarette smoking was still considered healthy for you. Like this
in the wartime.
The 70s. Yeah. Yeah, when you know, wars
Lucky
were
strikes.
Fought on the land.
By land, by sea, by air, we will smoke Lucky Strikes and not get lung cancer.
But yeah, it wasn't so much like the lob was the problem, but we started doing like direct shots for the other team's feet.
Yes.
Yeah, that was bad.
It's like to score 2 points. Yeah.
If you draw blood, it's an extra point.
You know what clears up that tetanus, though? The CSI evidence powder.
Soaks it right up.
Rub that right in there. So, Adam, moving on to number three here. Flubber, if you remember that lovely Disney movie with Robin Williams.
Oh, yeah. I almost said Eddie Murphy. Yeah, you're right. Well, Robin Williams.
But no, Eddie Murphy was in The Nutty Professor when his ass looked like Flubber.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So the history of this stuff is actually quite like a zombie movie because the people who made this thing, the Hasbro employees, when they created it as an alternative to Silly Putty, they realized that they completely fucked up and they couldn't get rid of it because they tried burning it, dumping it, sinking it into the ocean, and then finally digging up a large football-sized hole behind the Hasbro factory and burying it, then paving it over.
It's like with all the old E.T. video games.
Yeah. Superman 64, E.T. for Atari, Flubber. So they're all out there. And here's the thing. Here's why it's scary. Because on hot summer days, those flubber balls actually break through the asphalt and employees pick
what
them up.
What did they make those out of?
Nobody knows.
Well, somebody knows. They're just not talking. It's nuclear waste. Guys.
Absolutely.
It's literally nuclear waste.
It's alien testicles.
It's about to be 20. It's about to be 28 days later.
It's about to be. You get that in your eye and you start biting kids.
That's nuts.
Biting
can't
kids.
Burn it?
They tried everything.
Dude, I got to find. Can we? It's no longer available unless you go hunt. Oh,
well, yeah. It's not.
I'll scope out the Hasbro parking lot.
We'll just go get some. I bet you, like, the dark web's kind of, like, more monitored than it used to be, but we could definitely get some.
You don't even need the dark web that. It's probably on eBay as well.
I would say so.
I'll buy that along with your CSI kit.
Yeah.
Well, very fucking Christmas.
I should also say, too, the reason why this is very dangerous.
I just want to throw a flame to it and see what happens.
Well, apparently it just survives and laughs at you. It's like Michael Myers, but in toy form.
Yeah, he
you can't burn him.
You can't burn him.
You can't
shoot
him.
You can't put him out. This firefighter showed up, and he took him out. He
choked him.
Jackie Chan'd him.
Yeah. He got real limber.
Yeah, out of nowhere. For a 60-year-old.
Moving. But the other thing, too, here, the reason why it was dangerous for kids and why I got called out is that it was giving kids severe rashes and sore throats because I guess they were just throating them.
Eat it. Oh, it looks like a luge. So you like swallow it and try to cough it back up?
They're just throating flubber. So moving on to number four here, we have WeGo kite tubes. I know.
Slowly.
WeGo kite tubes.
Kite tubes.
So I didn't know about these things, but once I researched them a little bit, I realized exactly what they were because I had a cousin who had one. So what you did was it was a big inner tube that you took out on the lake and you tied it to a speedboat and it would catch air as you were going over like 30 miles an hour.
I remember seeing videos with this stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the thing about this is that it only ran for like 2 years, and in 2 years it claimed 3 lives before being recalled in 2006 by the Consumer Product Safety Commission.
Yikes.
And it's not available at all.
Need seatbelts on that thing.
I don't think you want to do that. Could you imagine going up and then getting back slammed and then just getting drug on the water and you couldn't undo the belt?
I mean, have a life jacket on to you. I don't. Yeah, there's no good way about that.
Yeah. That's a death trap for kids. And every dad.
Yeah, it's just dropping you from way up high if you don't hold on.
Every early 2000 dad's like, hey, kids.
I'm not great at.
Hold on.
I'm not great at wakeboarding or water skiing either. I'd be done for.
You're not good at balance.
I'm not good at anything physical. Drinking beer.
Yeah, which takes some skill, but only drinking, with one hand.
Drinking beer and kicking ass.
You sure about that?
Look at you, John Jones. Oh, what's his name? Mark Aspinwall?
Mark Aspinwall, right down near Sharpsburg. So we're going to move on to Clackers.
See
at
you at the
five.
Waterfront.
Ian's guys want to go to Uno's Pizza.
We're going down to Tequila Cowboy. I'm going to get in a fight with you and Tomlin.
Good old DC.
I got to give him a piece of my mind on that play call.
How are you going to throw a Hail Mary on 4th and 2? Deontay Johnson don't even want to play the football game no more. So we have Clackers at number 5. These are heavy plastic balls that slam into each other at breakneck speed. Because what can go wrong, right?
Me and my brother had these.
You had these?
Oh, yeah.
So were you also influenced by the demographic here that we got to read Conan the Barbarian comic books, and that's how he would take people down? So, of course.
We would swing them as fast as possible and then hit each other in the neck with it.
And that's how people died.
They're so loud.
These things are actually still available, Adam, believe it or not, but they're nerfed heavily.
They probably don't make the right noise then.
Well, what they do is they lightened the plastic detail on them, and they shortened
It's going to kill the tone.
The neck of them. Because before it was like a big distance between like the point
because they're clackers. They need the clack.
And now it's like, it's not the same. Great. Yeah.
It sounds like somebody just texting on their cell phone.
Yeah, pretty much. Who's that iPhone 5S over there?
There were two great moves with the clackers.
Yeah.
You could do like so, and you'd like get them to like fly like a bird and clack up high and clack down low.
Yeah.
Or you could do like the circle move, and it would just clack in the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
And the best thing to do is try to get that wingspan going and just trying to grab your siblings'
nose
with the clackers. Woo! Lots of nosebleeds.
How many fist fights did you and your brother get into?
All of them. Because once again, I don't do anything physical.
Except for fight your brother.
Except for drinking beer and fighting. Yeah.
Are you sure you're not Scottish? Because I thought you were Norwegian.
No, I'm totally Irish because like, I went from fighting my kid brother to just fighting old men at bars like Conor McGregor.
Drink my scotch. Bang. So, Adam, we're moving on to another one here. It's number 6, water beads. So, on the surface, doesn't seem like a bad idea, right? It's a sensory exploration for kids. You know, it's a little bead that grows in size when submerged in water. However,
I've seen these, I think.
Yeah. But the growth of the beads, no one really knew what was going to happen here. They can actually grow up to be 200 times their original size, or they'll go from the size of what would be considered like an undersized marble to the size of a plum. So, of course, kids are stupid, and they started eating them.
Yeah,
and
they look a lot like Tide Pods.
Yeah, and we already went over that shit, right, too. So they were eating these things, and there were tons of kids.
Oh, was it like expanding in their tum-tums?
In their tummies.
Oh, no.
And and here's the part about it, too, is that the cell wall of it was so dense that stomach acid couldn't break it down. So you actually had to either pass them or have surgery to remove them.
Dumb.
Do you think you could pass a plum out of your bum-bum?
No, not at all. This also,
I think you could.
I think I have before. This also reminds me of the there were those magnetic puzzles that were like the magnet balls, and kids were swallowing those, and then it would like again pass through into their intestines and like magnetize and like pinch their intestines off. Those things are real dangerous. They're a lot of fun to play with though.
They were getting Brock Lesnar
diverticulitis. Exactly.
So Adam, we're going on to number 7 here. It's the Gilbert Atomic Energy Lab, and I don't know how else to say this to you, buddy, but it has uranium in it. Like, real uranium, and not just real. It's uranium-238, which is one of the most volatile ores It's the one that
it's
gives
nuclear, y'all.
It gives you cancer quick.
Somebody make sure the Russians don't find out about this.
Vladimir Putin's been making
they're buying them all years. Right now.
So why would
why would this be in a toy? What are they trying to do here? Trying to make little Oppenheimers?
Do you not want to have
did you ever want to have the Manhattan Project in your living room? Hey, what the fuck are they doing?
But, dude, I want to have an element that can kill me in my house for 4.5 billion years.
Then just sit in front of a microwave.
Open the door. The new ones, you can do that, by the way, because they have no safety sensors. I found this out. You can open the door and turn the microwave on. You can Randy Marsh yourself.
That's good, yeah.
Oh, Stan, nothing. Just a little cancer. just a little bit.
Just a little radiation.
Just a little radiation. So, these are not available anywhere, clearly, because there's uranium in them. However, the recall didn't really work. They haven't all been recalled. So there is some of these kits out there that have uranium in them. So you can be a mini Oppenheimer if you feel so inclined. Or do what we actually wanted to do and be Barbenheimer, which I would dress up as.
Yeah, you want to be Barbenheimer.
Adam, moving
on. Not me.
What do you want to be?
I don't want to be anything Barbie.
Okay.
What do you mean, what do I want to be? Well, like, when I grow up?
Yeah.
Fucking a ninja?
No, that makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
It was when I was a kid, when I was playing with them lawn darts, I either want to be a garbage man, an astronaut, or a ninja.
And all those got achieved.
Again, I don't do much physical except drink beer and kick ass. So ninja was the best possibility.
You're as close to ninja as Chris Farley was in that movie.
I dry heave taking out my own garbage, so that wasn't going to work.
Commit number 8 here. We have your favorite toy, and mine too, because we're fat.
Dude.
It's the Easy Bake Oven, but it's a 2007 reboot, because the original one, dangerous in itself, the 2007 saw a very...
everything smells like burnt plastic.
Yeah. A lot of overreaching dads really helped out in the dangerous nature of the 2007 reboot, because they got rid of the incandescent bulbs that went into the oven, because they're like, oh, it creates too much heat. Kids are getting burnt. So dads are like, I'm putting them fuckers back in. So they reached back in and screwed in the incandescent bulbs. But the problem is that they refabbed all the Easy Bake Ovens to not handle incandescent bulbs. So that's where you come in, buddy, with the everything tastes like plastic, because your cupcake came out with a new kind of drizzle.
I mean, whoever thought, even the original one, like whoever thought it was a good idea to like make a cupcake with the same light bulb that's heating up your iguana. Like, it's not a good idea.
I just don't get where, like, I'm gonna
bake a strudel with this.
Also, can I just throw this out there too, by the way?
They always taste like shit.
Why are you gonna make me one cupcake?
Yeah, I'm not handling an Easy Bake Oven brownie. Here.
Shut up.
Yeah.
One?
Took 40 minutes.
Yeah. If that. It's like, hey, Daddy, can I make you a brownie? Go get your mom.
I'm going down to the Unimart and getting some Twinkies. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Actually, if you keep bothering, I'm going to Unimart for cigarettes. And I'm never coming back. So this thing came out, and there were 250 child bakers getting their hands stuck inside the oven, 77 burn victims, and 16 severe burn injuries.
Great job, Cake Boss.
Sugar, sugar, dun, 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 dun.
Ow, Bernie.
And this is still available. You can get it right now.
My niece has one.
Just don't modify it. Don't modify it. Just let it be. It is what it is. Just, it's her playtime.
They're better now. They're safer now. They were never good.
It's pretend. Pretend to bake. Don't modify the contraption. So, Adam, last one here.
I think as early as possible, teach your kids how to actually bake.
Yeah.
It pays dividends for the parents.
It certainly does.
Come home and there's just a nice, fun fatty cake sitting there for you.
Dude, when my kid comes home from home ec, and I remember this too, when I came home from home ec from my wonderfully pedestrian high school, I learned how to make fudge for the first time.
Yeah, I remember that too.
And I was like, Mom, I can make fudge now. She's like, go fucking make fudge.
I remember.
Put marshmallows in.
I don't remember a lot of what we learned to make, but I do remember, like, we learned how to make Orange Julius, like, the first week in that
class. You made
class.
Orange Julius?
Yeah. It's not as hard as it seems. It's orange juice, milk, and sugar.
Oh, well, there you go.
That's all it is. And ice. Then you do a little shake.
I just learned that right now. So it is. Dude, it was that hard for me.
I was so upped on the fructose lactose mixture every day after school. And I would like make a picture of it and just be like, it's milk and orange juice. It's healthy.
You're like a divorcee making mimosas.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can just see you.
Just like, needed a little vodka.
Hey, Mom.
Just need a little vodka, make some screwdrivers.
So, Adam, moving on to number 9 here. This is one of the funniest ones. It's the Black Panther Wakanda Battle Cloth. This is the newest toy on the list, but also conceivably one of the most dangerous, because you just take a 5-year-old who wants to be a superhero. He loves superheroes. He watches all the Marvel movies, all the DC movies. Mm-hmm. He shits on Snyder.
His parents.
They are. The TV has just raised him.
Can't climb ladders.
Unless Mom's home. And then you add Wolverine-style claws that are roughly the size of his own head. And believe it or not, you just get assaults.
Yeah, he goes to eat one Dorito with those things accidentally still on his hand and takes an eye out.
Right in the eye. These things, and I'm not exaggerating, and this is in the camera right now, the claws are this long.
And what do they make? Like, just hard plastic?
Just hard plastic.
So I had Wolverine claws as a kid, but they were kind of like...
They were like foam rubber.
Yeah, they were very rubbery. Yeah, like, if you shook them real fast, it all just cling together.
Yeah. And you could, like, slap somebody with them if it hurt.
I was dying for some adamantium ones. My parents couldn't afford them.
Well, of course, because they also knew you were a psychopath. You'd stab your brother in the fucking face.
Yeah, I don't think adamantium's a real...
Well, it is. It's real to me, damn it.
It was just in the comic books.
So this is still available. We can go to Walmart right now and go get these.
You want to battle them next week?
Do we get Hulk gloves, Hulk hands
versus Wakanda claws?
just redneck box. I'll die so fast. No, we each get one. You put one
Hulk. Your Hulk hands, your shield,
and then yeah.
You also have eye protection. I might have to wear my glasses.
I'll wear contacts. I'll wear contacts. I'll make it Pharisees.
We'll both be Pirates of the Caribbean for next Halloween.
Rum is for drinking, not for cooking. So, Adam, of all the, we're at the end of the list, man. Do you think this is actually a pretty viable list of dangerous toys?
Yeah, I can't think of any. I mean, lawn darts were the big ones when we were kids, and like I brought up the magnet ones, mm-hmm. which were similar to the Floby bubble toys or whatever. Yeah, I mean, I know there were a bunch when we were kids, but I can't.
Do you know the one that I always saw the most
injuries with? I think trampolines in general are very dangerous, terrible, especially the one with the exposed springs.
Yeah.
Those are all.
But let me
rough.
Tell you the one that I always saw the most injuries with, because I was the poorest kid on my street, but the guy next to me, my neighbor, and he was cool. He always shared his toys with me, which is cool. He had creepy crawlers, the oven, and I have scars on my body.
Oh, that was just like the boy version
of Easy Bake Oven.
Yeah.
But here's the problem.
That was the cis male Easy Bake Oven. Yeah.
But here's the problem with us, though, is that we're impatient.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I got to play with this now. And you pull it out, and it's still liquid magma, and you just drop it on yourself. It was a scorpion. No.
Because they were like gummy candies, right? So yeah. If you didn't let them cure up.
Also.
They were just liquid hot.
Here's the fucked up thing about it, is that the original Creepy Crawlers was just like you die cast like a mask, almost. It's not edible. And they're like, we should probably let kids make candy with it. So they're like, hey, we're not going to give you cleaning instructions for any of that, but we're going to give you the candy solution so you can make edible creepy crawlers. You know how many creepy crawlers I ate that weren't candy? A lot.
There are actually two. Well, there's not two. They're not dangerous toys. They were just dangerous in my hands. I once got an M&M out of my stocking stuck up my nose.
Of course you did.
That was a trip to the hospital.
Of course it is.
Yeah. And then Swamp Thing. I'll never forget. My dad still brings this up to this day. There was the Swamp Thing cartoon.
Yeah.
And the villain guy had this thing called the transducer that would like pump this toxin into like a normal person.
Oh, yeah.
And turn him into a monster.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted for Christmas that year.
The transducer?
Yeah, and I got it. And you turn it clockwise to transduce somebody.
Yeah.
My brother turned it as hard as he could counterclockwise, broke the transducer. All the green liquid that was turning my people evil spilled out onto the carpet, and I beat him with the toy. So that toy was dangerous with him. For him. Again, another brother-brother fight.
Because of the escalation?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
You got to turn it the right way. And he turned it like a maniac the wrong way.
What are you doing?
I only transduced like two people. How am I going to have an army of villains?
Transduce.
And all my transducer juice is in the carpet.
The dog's eating it.
We're going to have to get the resolve out.
So, Adam.
Didn't have a dog. Too poor for a dog.
So, Adam.
No dogs.
We're moving into your favorite segment of the second half.
I felt like I was too poor for a dog until I was 34 years old. They were, I was told they were so expensive.
No, they're not. They're really not. Yeah. They're not. Yeah. Questions from the internet.
It's just another lie, just like Santa Claus.
Questions from the internet. Adam, number one, what are you distracting yourself with right now?
So I think like everybody else this time of year, it's... the hustle and bustle of Christmas.
Yeah, because I'm really focused on getting presents for my kids. Yeah. That's my distraction, yeah.
But yesterday I was listening to a podcast.
Yeah.
And they were going over the, like, different shows. And one of them was, like, Chris Henson's new To Catch a Predator, whatever it's now. It's, like, the Crime Watch Network. I think it's just streaming or whatever.
Yeah.
And they were talking about this one predator that came in with like pizza and
so you were like getting lost in how they trapped him.
Well, and they were just making fun of the guy and like making fun of the situation.
What
the fuck are you thinking? But like aside from that, I'm just watching and this guy's like there and they were teasing this specific guy because he was just eating pizza in the middle of his interrogation. And I immediately thought and then made myself giggle by thinking like, man, all these predators bring snacks. Dude, like who takes that home and eats it at the end of the day? You know, because there was a 6-pack of beer and like half a pepperoni pizza left. And it looked the problem was it looked pretty good.
Well, you have to entice the kid. So.
Well, I don't like that part.
I mean,
like,
I know.
You just let the food go to waste. Does it go to evidence? Does Chris Henson eat it? Like, so I bet you he lied about being in a war. I bet you Chris Henson says he threw it away and takes it home and eats it. He's eating it in his hotel room.
He's like, I got
this. That's my conclusion. I literally thought about this for 2 hours yesterday while doing a spreadsheet.
So he's like just sitting crisscross applesauce, like, I got this bastard. He's just eating Tostitos pizza. He's drinking Mike's Hard Lemonade.
And eating like eating a Papa John's pizza just right there on the floor.
With toppings that no kid would
probably,
like, by the way.
And probably like some of the trawler gummy worms, the sour ones. Yeah. Yeah, man.
How'd he stay so thin, though? If he was doing all that.
Cocaine.
Oh, my God, dude. Now that you say it, it makes a lot of sense. Like, yeah, it's because, like,
and I think they film those over a couple of days, so I think he kind of starves out for a while. And then
he fasts, and then when he gets to the set, he's like, dude, we're eating good today.
He just does, like, a predator mukbang. Eating it all. Crisscross applesauce in his hotel by himself.
Just muck banging the shit out of Predator.
It's just for him
food.
And the people on his Discord live. That's
they're
it.
Just like, they're go, Chris.
You do all the good, man.
They're just like, give him all the subs. Sub.
I don't care about you. You lied about that helicopter ride. It's okay.
It's all right, though, bro.
NBC didn't like it, but
what's
we're
that
okay.
What's that pizza taste like, though? Well, I don't have a better answer.
Christmas presents.
Yeah. Yep. Sure.
Sorry, man. Yeah, that just creeped in my head the other day, and I was like, oh, this should be a funny topic. And then I immediately, like, it was an hour before you sent me these notes. I'm like, well, I had a funny.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a shower thought, but, like, it was distracting me for that day.
Yeah. So, Adam, we got to hang out, you know, little sneak preview for, you know, in the future of 2024. We hung out with Slade from the Game Pod.
Game Club podcast.
And what we didn't know is that they actually put us into their yearly Hunger Games. And if you didn't know, we placed fourth. We got killed in our fucking sleep. So the dude, we stole people's supplies.
I don't know how many, though.
So there's 12 districts. Two pods per district. And we ended four.
That's pretty good.
We did a good job.
Is it because we were a team, or were there a bunch of teams, right?
A bunch of teams. But here's the thing: like, we killed a lot of people, and we stole a lot of supplies, and we were heels.
Well, I mean, that's gonna make you tired.
It's really gonna make you tired. So we took a nap, and then someone's like, "I'll stab him." That's what happened. We got stabbed in our sleep. So Adam, I this is my question to us because of this. Do you think we could survive or win a Hunger Games event, like me and you, like if we were
together?
If we're a team.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Well, how do you think that fucking happens?
I only like to drink beer and fight.
Come on, man.
It's a theme.
Just get drunk and fight everybody.
I mean, it depends on who the opponents are. Like, are we going against guests of the show?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Look at
Mesher's out first.
Oh, we're killing him and his brother, making him watch. So
we would bring Bobby Nacho in as like the third man. He'd be the Hulk Hogan in the NWO.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then we're done from there.
Kevin Nash.
That's fine. I'm definitely Scott Hall.
Oh, you definitely are.
Yeah, the drinking problem.
You got half a liver. So
that's how I was asleep.
I know you fucking crushed it.
I just passed out.
We both were. We kept getting supplies from an unknown source by an unknown sponsor, by the way. So
during that?
Yeah.
When can I listen to this?
So it's out right now. Anyone can listen to it.
Nice. I'm going to check it out.
GamePod.
Slade sent me a hilarious video. I got to show you later. Yeah. It was a couple French gentlemen showing people how to homebrew. And like between every step, it's like, well, now we have to wait for 10 minutes. Shot a Jägermeister. And like by the end of it,
they're just destroyed. Yeah. So, I think we could win Hunger Games together. If we're together.
Yeah, if we're together, for sure. I wouldn't want to have you as an opponent.
No. Yeah. No, I don't want to fight you either.
Same with Notch. That's why I'm going to, like,
bring him in.
Give him that Hulk Hogan money.
So, at one point, I think we killed Josh Scar from Talking Smack, though.
Oh.
That's a tough one.
I was just on an episode with him.
I know.
I didn't have any ill will.
Yeah.
He must have came at us first.
Self-defense. Yeah,
self-defense.
We claim it. Self-defense. So, Adam, we are moving into the end of this episode, and it's a great time to come back. I think, you know, sorry we were away for a week, but hopefully you're enjoying this
one. It was Matt's fault, everybody.
I take full responsibility for my actions. So, Adam, what is on tap, and where can you find us?
Yeah, I mean, we still have a couple of the People's Oakland beers on. Right now we have a little bit of The Last Garrison, which is our ESB, our English Special bitter. Then on tap number 2 right now, we have just a little bit, maybe for like the next couple of days, of Shatfaced, our pumpkin roll stout. Then we have about a half a keg of the Jason Sleeping Bag Marshmallow IPA, which has got some good play at the People's Oakland fundraiser party.
Oh, yeah.
That did really well. And then the Schwartz beer is almost gone. Smoked Schwartz beer is on its way out.
So good.
But yeah, come grab it. And then coming on taps this week, we switched up the Christmas gruit a little bit.
Okay.
It still is cranberry lingonberry, but we added a lot more honey this year. Mm-hmm. So it is our, it'll still be called How the Gruit Stole Christmas, because I just like the name of it. But it technically is a Braggot Ale this season, this year.
Can I pitch a name change for next year?
Yeah.
Merry Crisis.
Kind of like that. But yes, and for those of you who don't know, a Braggot is basically about a 50-50 split between a beer and a mead.
Nice.
So it's just a very honey-heavy.
So you get the sweetness cranked up.
A little bit. It's very dry.
Well, the cranberry, actually. Too.
The cranberry gives it some good tartness and some fruitiness. And then the honey really dries it out. It almost drinks kind of like a wine.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay.
So very like a white, semi-sweet wine.
I like that.
And then right behind it will be a little bit of the bubbly, our mimosa. Or not mimosa, I'm so sorry, our Bellini Brut IPA, which I haven't tried any of it yet, but the smells from the hops this season for the Brew Day was really good, so I'm looking forward to it.
Nice. You want us going to have them down here in the Brew Lab? It's at @Bash_Brew on all social media, Facebook, Instagram, X.
Oops.
If you want to go, the boys down here in Judge Harmon.
Right here. We ain't going anywhere.
We are at Decay and WTB on all social media, Facebook, Instagram, X, Threads, YouTube, Good Pods, everything. We're there, baby. And do not forget, you guys are blowing up our YouTube right now. Decay and WTB at YouTube, baby. Hit the little bell, get the notifications,
subscribe.
Push the algorithm, subscribe to us, tell your friends about us.
Like it. Send us a comment.
Puts us out there. So, from our triumphant return from my sickness to this episode right now, we're just slamming back alley beers.
Yeah, man. Thanks again to Mike Moore.
Yep.
Go out the back alley. He bartends there quite a few times a week. Yep. And they have food trucks quite often.
Until next time, cheers.
like that, the meme happened to me where like, it's like, great job all year. You met all your goals. Pizza party.
Oh,
what even worse? Because yeah. like, pizza party next Wednesday, so everybody's got to come back in again.
Lame.
On the same day, you know, flu and cold season. It's going to be great.
Let's all make out.
So if you're going to come in, put your name on the sign-up sheet and what toppings you'd like on your pizza, and everybody will get two slices of pizza.
What is this, summer camp?
So it's not even a pizza party. It's like, come in and your Christmas bonus is two slices of pizza. And I'm like, just don't. Just
I.
It's.
I don't even work where you work, and I want to hurt everybody.
It would be better to just not do anything.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not asking for a Christmas bonus. Just
leave me alone.
Don't do anything.
Yeah.
If that's what you're going to do, it's just
me alone.
Infuriating.
If you're not allowing me to eat a whole pizza by myself, right. and I can bring beer to this party.
I'm a fucking adult. Let me. I can't bring alcohol in, so yeah. like, at least let me eat a third piece of pizza. Yeah.
Also,
look, it's also during our lunch hour. yeah. The pizza's during our lunch, yeah. so give me a lunch portion.
Can you just look your boss and be like, look at me. You think two pieces of pizza is going to be enough for me?
So I'm not signing up.
No.
And when like somebody comes to me like, are you not coming in on Wednesday? I'm going to say, no, I'm coming in on Thursday. And I'm ordering a whole large pizza for myself.
I'm going to eat it at my cube.
I'm going to eat it like Kevin McAllister with a 2 liter of Coke.
This is the height of luxury.
Piece of shit.